Our Father, we come to Thee again in the name of our Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the beautiful truth of words that we've been singing together. Did the Lord a man become, that He might the law fulfill, bleed and suffer in my room, and canst Thou my tongue be still? O God, tonight we thank Thee for the giving of Thy Son. Thank Thee afresh for Calvary and the wonders of so great salvation. We bless Thee for all that we have in the Lord Jesus. Thank Thee afresh for this day, for the privilege to meet with the Bible in our own language and the liberty to do so. We pray now Thy blessing upon the meeting this evening, and ask our Father help and guidance of the Spirit of God as we read from the Scriptures and speak from them. Give our brother help with the word in the gospel, we pray at the end, that there might be that which would touch the hearts of every one of us. And should there be some among us who don't have peace with God, who don't know the Lord Jesus, we pray tonight, Father, that this might be a night when they would realize the greatest need they could ever have, and to realize that the Lord Jesus is the answer. Bless Thy word in our time together. We ask it in His name. Amen. Now, the first part of our meeting tonight, we're going to read in the book of the Acts, please. The beginning in our New Testament, the book of the Acts, we're going to read at the beginning, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, or his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now may the Lord bless to us this reading of his word. What is upon my mind tonight are the 12 words of the question asked by the disciples to the Lord Jesus on this occasion. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The disciples that are gathered here, as we read in Acts chapter 1, must have been a thrilled company of people. The Lord Jesus is going to lead them. They'll watch as from the Mount of Olives he goes back to heaven. But if you think back with me for a moment, in the past these disciples, as we've been reminded, had been called by the Lord. And they had followed the Lord Jesus now for something over 3 years. And they had seen the things that he had done. And they had heard the teaching that he had given. And there would have been no doubt whatsoever in the minds of these disciples that Jesus was the Son of David, or is the Son of David. That Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus is the Son of God.
you will appreciate that when we come to Gethsemane, and then a little later to the house of the priests, and then before Pilate, and then Calvary, these disciples were wondering a number of things. Remember the two in Luke 24 on the road? We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. But when we come to Acts chapter 1, it's an altogether different scene. He who was on the cross, He who was in the tomb, He's now come back in resurrection power. And for 40 days there have been those occasions, as we know, when different ones have seen Him, and they're all recorded in our Bible. Now then, these disciples put this question to the Lord. I want to think with you for a few moments of the simplicity of the words that they asked the Lord Jesus. Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Not only do we want to think of the simplicity of the words, but I'm going to suggest to you something of the shortcoming of their question. And then particularly what's upon my mind is the significance of those words for us today. You will notice what they spoke of. They're very clear about that. The kingdom to Israel. They're quite clear as to the timing at this time. And why not at this time? When you think that now He's back, He's with them. Surely in light of that, all the many things that they would know from Himself and from the Old Testament prophets, surely this is the time. And you'll notice not only what it is they ask for and when, but for whom they ask for it. For Israel. Of course, they're Jewish disciples. And you will notice the one that they believed would bring in the kingdom, wilt Thou at this time. These disciples would have had every reason to think of the greatness of the kingdom as it's taught in our Bible. You will appreciate that we can go back through many, many scriptures. Is it not way back in the days of Jacob that we were hearing about today? The old man coming to the end of the road in Genesis 49. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, until Shiloh come. They would have known from the prophets, they would have known from the books of the Old Testament, of the coming Messiah. They would have known the lovely words of Isaiah 9, of the one who would come and upon the throne of David. They would have known a number of other passages down through. At the birth of the Lord Jesus, were there not the wise men? Where is He that is born King of the Jews? Is it not in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that the Lord Jesus gave them principles of a kingdom? Did the Lord Jesus not teach them to pray for the kingdom, Thy kingdom come? Did He not in Matthew 13 give them the parables of the kingdom? Then is it any wonder that when we come to Matthew 21, Hosanna to the Son of David, cry the people. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They had every reason to look forward to a coming kingdom. You will remember there's a man on the cross in Luke 23. Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. Now, in the circumstances of the cross, it's a most remarkable thing that man could perceive that. When Thou comest into Thy kingdom. Now, the simplicity of the words, they know exactly what they want. Who can deliver it? But I said there's a shortcoming here. You will notice that they said, restore again the kingdom to Israel. And the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be a restored kingdom. And it's not exclusively to Israel. And quite evidently, it's not at this time. There are things that they just don't seem to perceive. The lovely truth of this kingdom that our Bible speaks of is different in character from anything that had been seen in history. It's not exactly the kingdom of a David or of a Solomon. It'll be different in its character. It's going to be different in its extent. Now that there would be a kingdom, there is no question. That Christ will be the king, there is no question. But there are things that they just simply don't seem to understand in relation to it. But you notice the answer of the Lord Jesus. It's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in His own power. And I'm going to ask you to think with me of three things tonight in relation to this reply to their simple question. Number one, it's not for you to know the times or the season. I want to think of the implication for believers that's found in this. What they wouldn't have known is this. That God has a pattern, God has a purpose. And there is going to be an interval of time. Now all very well for you or for me to call it the church age or the day of grace. The valley between the great prophetic mountaintops of the Old Testament. But there's going to be a period of time. And in that period of time, there will be the unfolding of certain things that are called mysteries unknown in the Old Testament. There would be, as you know, the mystery of the gospel. By means of a gospel message that these disciples could hardly comprehend. There would be a message of salvation that would go out to the whosoevers of this world. You will remember it's the Jew, it's the Samaritan, and it'll be the Gentile. Not only is there the mystery of what's called the gospel, but you will remember that involved in that, it is salvation not by law, but salvation by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You might remember that when Peter in Acts 10 goes to the house of Cornelius, God had to give him a vision. And even the vision of the clean and the unclean meats should have been sufficient in itself, but I notice that Peter takes a number of other men with him. And so that when we come to Acts chapter 11 and he comes back to Jerusalem, you notice that he's going to go up to the church at Jerusalem and the leaders. And he's not only the testimony of a Peter, but the testimony of those that were with him. And they're now convinced that God is actually saving Gentiles as well. There is the message of the gospel, a mystery unknown before. There is the mystery of the church that we've been considering today. That out of the whosoevers of this world, now again God will be bringing them together, broken down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, but bringing them together and those individuals that come to know Christ as Savior, new creatures in Christ, members of the body as we were noticing. And God has an altogether different purpose than He had in relation to Israel of old. And this wonderful truth of a gospel message has gone around the world. Multitudes of people will have been saved. And in relation to that body, we would notice, we go through our Bible, and that's now a company in which there is no national distinction. There is no racial distinction. There is no social distinction. There is no gender distinction we can see. All come on the one basis, sinners in need of salvation, and Christ and Calvary the answer. God has a tremendous purpose that is ongoing until such time as the kingdom day will come. And that purpose would be then the growing of the church. You will all know tonight that one day God's purpose in the church will be complete in this sense, that there will come in what is called the fullness of the Gentiles. I'd be on dangerous ground, I suppose, if I came to Vancouver and tell you that I know when the rapture will take place. But if I quoted Romans 11 and 25, would you be happy enough that the rapture will take place when the fullness of the Gentiles be coming? In other words, in this particular time era that we're in, when God is saving the whosoevers of this world, there'll come a time when the last of those will be brought into the church. And now this particular period of time will be over, and God will begin to work again in a different way as far as the future is concerned. You and I can be thankful that when that happens, the Lord will come, a shout will be given. You remember a transformation will take place, and you will remember that believers will be caught away to be forever with the Lord. What are the implications of it's not for you to know? This is in the hand of the Lord, in the Father's time. Could I ask you to think with me just for a moment or two that in our Bible there is a little word, just a very simple little word, and I would encourage all of you just to mark a number of them from your Bible. Romans 11, 25 again. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until. Now, I don't know if there's a simpler word than until, but is it not true that each time we use the word until, there are three little thoughts that will be connected with it? If I were to say to you that this meeting will go until 8:15 or 8:20, then I am giving you the concluding time of this meeting. Every until has a conclusion. Every until has a commencement, a beginning. And every use of the word until has a duration. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In Psalm 110, we have one of the great messianic psalms. Psalms of the Messiah. Psalms of the Lord Jesus. It's a little conversation. Divine conversation. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If you ask me, how long is it that the Lord Jesus will sit at the Father's right hand ere he comes back in glory, I would have to say until God has a time on his calendar. But then you can readily see, when does that until begin? And you'd have to see a moment, of course, when the Lord Jesus, having finished the work of the cross, leaves to go up. Now, we can see when it begins, we can see when it ends, and we just don't know how long is the interval in between. If we were to turn to 2 Thessalonians 2 tonight, we learn that in the future there is coming one who is called the son of perdition, the man of sin. But we learn that there is someone that is restraining. He who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There is again, until. I would believe that that restrainer is the Holy Spirit. And incidentally, the Holy Spirit that indwells the church. Don't forget the promise of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel. He promised the Holy Spirit and said, He shall be with you forever. So I don't see the restrainer going and leaving the church behind. But the Spirit of God has come down, as we would know in Acts 2. The restraining influence of the Holy Spirit will come ere the man of sin arrives on this scene. What's the duration? There is a duration. The implication of this question then is simply this, that God has set a time, as again we call it the day of grace, and in that day of grace, in that valley, I said, the Lord is doing a work all over this world, national distinctions set aside. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. National distinctions will come back very much in the future. But if there are the implications for ourselves, might I ask you to ponder this for a moment? What are the implications for Israel in relation to this question and this reply? You will realize this, of course, that these believers would watch the Lord Jesus go. And the nation that had rejected Christ. You remember there are dark days ahead in their experience. The Lord had warned them in Matthew 24 in relation to the temple. Not one block standing upon another. We go to Luke 23 and you remember the words of the Lord Jesus as he leaves Jerusalem and he's going to Calvary. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children. Three things he mentions there. Not for me. That's the immediate. That's Calvary. For yourselves, within their generation, there would come the awful events that we know historically as AD 70. The great Roman onslaught as the troops would sweep down over the land we call Israel. And there's going to be a nation that will be destroyed. There'll be a city left in ruins, and there temple that they thought so much of will be destroyed. What happens then? You perhaps know of some of the numbers and some of the terrible things that happened in those days. But the result is simply this. Turn a number of years ahead and the Jews will be banished from that land, scattered all over the world. The name of proverb, the name of byword among the nations of the world. Weep not for me, the immediate, for yourselves. But there's the long range for your children. And the history, of course, of these people, the Jewish people, is a sad blot upon the history of the world. Scattered all over the world, persecuted in virtually every country. As a result of what happened, over a number of years there crept into the minds of religious leaders the idea that God was finished with Israel. A number of implications come from that. God was finished with Israel. Among the implications would be this. Never again would there be a nation of Jews in the Middle East. Never again would Jerusalem be their capital city. Never again would they have a temple. And along with that would be this idea. everything prophetically promised to the Jew throughout the Bible must now be taken spiritually and applied to the church. Now, most of you realize that this is what's called replacement theology. Replacement theology. The church has taken the place of Israel. Sadly, perhaps the majority of the Christian religious world believes this. What does one do with the prophecies of the Old Testament? What does one do with the book of the Revelation in light of that type of teaching? You can only, as I said, take it symbolically in relation to the church. And the book of the Revelation will have to be looked at in one of two ways. Either that John is speaking of things that happened back there prior to AD 70, or the whole thing is symbolic. And if the whole thing is symbolic, well then who knows what anything means? Who knows what any of it means? What's been the net result of that? The net result would be this. That we see the emergence of a state church and religious leaders in harmony with the political systems of the world. And going back now hundreds of years, the concept in the minds of individuals that when in the process of time, eventually the gospel reaches all around the world, then the world will become a Christian world. And there will be a man in a certain city, head over a certain system, who would be Christ's representative, and the kingdom spiritually will be here. But that's not what our Bible teaches. The implication of that kind of thinking leads to a denial of the rapture. You see, not seeing the difference between Israel and the church is to not see a distinction between the rapture and the coming in judgment of the Lord. Do you know people who do not believe in the rapture? Well, then you know what else they believe. But thank God for this. The apostles and the New Testament very clearly show us that there is a difference. And we can be thankful today that studying our Bibles, and for men of earlier generations who search their Bibles, we realize that there is a difference. And that one day, this company that we're referring to as the body and the bride will be complete. And a shout will be given. And as I said, believers changed and taken away. We know from our Bibles there is coming a day that's called the Great Tribulation. And of course, people who don't see the distinction would not see a great tribulation, but many tribulations. And a great judgment down the road. But we can thank God tonight that one day, this day that we live in, this period of time will come to an end. And every one of us shall live in the good of the fact that Christ can come at any moment because we do not know the moment that's marked on God's calendar, if I can use that time, that term, when the last will be saved and the shout will be given. I know a man who says the rapture must be today, because there's no tomorrow. I think he's right. Can we all appreciate that? He must be right. It must be today because there's no such thing as tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. So could we all live in the good of the fact that the shout can come at any moment? Not next week or next month, mind you. Don't go putting it off. It can come at any moment. Come back with me for a moment when the Lord says it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. I mentioned a minute ago there were certain things involving the nation of Israel in light of this question, in light of this answer. And let me just for a moment take you here. Over the last century, you know, a great number of things have happened in relation to the Jews. Now, it is my intention to go through all the prophetic things tonight, but just very quickly. You would know that 1897, there's the Zionist movement formed. Likely all of you tonight have heard this. That following 1917 and the liberation of the land called Palestine, some years later, there's a declaration by the UK Parliament of the establishment of a homeland for the Jews. You'll be familiar with, after World War II, the multitude of them going back in 1948, a nation. 1967, the city, and so on. Now, for people who believe that the church has replaced Israel, the events of the Middle East are a bit of a conundrum. They don't mean anything. But Christians, our Bible is clear as to the fact that there is going to come a day called the Day of Jacob's Troubles. Our Bible is clear as to the prophetic fact of the coming again of the Lord Jesus at the end of the Great Tribulation. Were you to go tonight to the little book of Micah, chapter 5, and there's the little verse you remember, Thou Bethlehem. It takes us back, of course, to that beautiful truth that's referred to in Matthew 2. The birth of the Lord Jesus, Son of God, King of the Jews, born in Bethlehem. But in the same passage of Micah chapter 5, it tells us this. It tells us of a people that will be given up. And here's my little word again. Until. And you'll notice in Micah chapter 5 that the one who is born in Bethlehem will be the peace when the Assyrian comes into the land. There's a prophecy that has never been fulfilled, and it's one of a great many. And there's a prophecy that will not be fulfilled until God's day of grace has run its course. And there comes this time called the Great Tribulation. God is bringing His people back. It should be no surprise to any of us. They are going back in unbelief, but it should be no surprise to any of us that there is the regathering in light of the prophetic principles of Ezekiel 37. That a nation has been formed. That there's a yearning and a desire in the hearts of these people to get their temple back. And there will come a day. There will come a day when these people who desperately want peace are going to turn to the wrong man. There will come a day at the end of what is called the Great Tribulation, or the hour of temptation to try them that dwell upon the earth, or the time of Jacob's troubles. And there is going to come that time when the enemies will surround them, and there will be the cry, the prophetic words of Isaiah again. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down. They're literally one day going to be calling out for the Messiah to come. Calling out for the King to come. Calling out for the Deliverer to come. And again, you'll know this. There will come a day when He will come.
and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. But Christians, here we are tonight. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The answer is, it's not for you to know. But God is doing a work. And I would just close by saying this to you, Christians. God's work that's been ongoing, has it not reached into every continent? Has it not reached into every country and every culture? All of us tonight who are saved should say, thank God for salvation. We should so very much appreciate that we are saved. We live in a land where too many are indifferent to it all. Indifferent to all of these things and confused by so much in the world. We need not be confused. We should be able to look at the world and see events lining up for what prophecy shows. We should be able to look around and see things shaping up, and we should ask ourselves, how long will it be? Christians, I go to prepare a place for you, said the Lord Jesus. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, says the Apostle Paul. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, is the word of the Apostle. A shout will be given. A moment will come. The Lord Jesus will come for the bride. The tribulation will run its course. And then the King of Kings will come in mighty power. Not again just the kingdom of the Jews, but a kingdom where he is King of the Jews, but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And ultimately, as we look ahead to the great millennial time, we can see the will of God brought in. Wilt thou at this time? Not at that time. But the day is soon to come when the Lord will return. May God bless us, his word, and might every one of us search our hearts and say, am I ready? And how am I living in light of the fact of the Lord's soon return? May the Lord bless his word.
Now shall we take the time to sing the words of hymn 267. 267.